It's Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Hello, Rita.
Kia ora, how are you?
I'm good. Last Sustaining Alive of the year. Where are you taking us?
Oh, I'm just going to finish the year with some good news, and that is a short and sweet good news, but it is good news that the government have announced that they're going to overhaul and modernise the conservation legislation that runs New Zealand, and that is wonderful news because, quite honestly, it couldn't be any worse than it is. I mean, it probably could be, but I, the government that's in at the moment, I think, will do a better job of what's been done. The minister in charge is Kitty Allen, and we know that she's a formidable force and quite possibly one of my favourite people in our government at the moment. But it is, I guess, the thing that is worth kind of raising about why this needs to happen is we've got 24 pieces of like pieces of legislation that have kind of been created ad hoc over the last 70 years, so they're like massively out of date and don't consider, you know, any of the modern kind of things such as like science changing quickly, and they haven't just been really created with any kind of cohesion or strategy in mind, and they're kind of extremely toothless. So it's really good that we're having a relook at them and that they're, you know, they're basically sweeping changes over the next, well, they've kind of said the next little while will be some small changes, but they're setting it up so in the next term there'll be some sweeping changes to these acts, which is really exciting. So some of them, the bigger ones people might have heard of is the Wildlife Act, which is 60 years old, the Hauraki Gulf Act, the National Park Act, and the Trade and Endangered Species Act. So, I mean, that's one of 20... Oh, sorry, that's
Wait,
one.
Wait, hang on.
Four.
Trade and Endangered Species. So if I was going to go, like, nick off with a takahe from Tawhanui, I might get in trouble?
Yeah, you'd get in trouble for that. Yeah, okay. Definitely. But it's pretty, toothless. Like, in terms of if you get found, let's say, with parrots in your, like, native parrots, which they've found people with trying to ship them overseas,
yeah.
They kind of really just get a bit of a sack on the wrist in the scheme of things. Like, it kind of makes it worth trying, if you
Does
know what
Does it actually
mean.
Happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they caught some people a few years ago trying to export some, our native parrots, they're beautiful little lorikeet things. I've forgotten the name of them, like the green parakeets, and there's an orange parakeet. They're beautiful birds, and they were, I think they'd like put them to sleep and then put them in like tubes or something weird like that.
No.
And they caught them, and I think the fines probably, like, I don't remember it, so my apologies, but it's maybe $10,000 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And these people will be fetching, for an endangered species like that, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, it's really kind of a bit useless. And even things like, you know, there's like laws around whether you've got, you know, ivory keys on your piano, for example. So
yes.
There's just some things like, the trade in endangered species is actually quite complex,
mm-hmm.
And nuanced, if you know what I mean. Like, there's a whole lot of little things that you just go, oh, that's actually a bit stupid. So I think, all of them just, they made sense at the time, but now they just don't. And I mean, I guess the biggest one is that piece of, like, we can't easily update it for science. And
totally.
That Hauraki Gulf thing is a perfect example of that. Like, we get new data, you know, that shows that a species is in decline massively, and they're like, oh, well, we'll just review it again. And
okay.
Like, well,
so they're inserting, like, a caveat for legislation to be updated as science progresses?
No, it's actually bigger than that. So it sounds like they're going to actually completely overhaul them, and I wouldn't be surprised if they get wrapped into one big piece of legislation like the RMA which is reminded everyone the Resource Management Act, which they're now trying to unfortunately kind of detangle. But I mean, there's a reason that it was all looped, like put into one is because there was like 140 different pieces of legislation that people had to come across if they wanted to develop their property or if they wanted to like mine for gold or whatever. Whereas it kind of, so they tried to get it all into one. And, you know, yes, they're like, oh, it's really difficult to work your way through. And it's like, yeah, that's for a good reason, because it's a lot more difficult to work your way through all these pieces of legislation. So there is some benefits to things being wrapped up. And I think, you know, like the review of the Wildlife Act is so overdue. And the example they gave in the press release was that they actually had a case in the in a motorway, the construction of a motorway, where there was a family of long-tailed bats, so reminder, that is our bird of the year, and our pika pika, and they were living there, and they couldn't actually apply to move them under the Wildlife Act. The Wildlife Act actually only dealt with what would happen if they killed them. So they kind of were like, okay, well, we're going to have to kill them and take the slap on the wrist then, you know? Like that was kind of what the legislation was sort of, you know, kind of shuffling them towards, as opposed to having the framework there for them to move them to another location. Mm-hmm. So that's an example. There's lots of other examples. Eels are protected. Like they've got like non-native species are protected. Like it's an absolute mess. So it's not just, from what the press release sounds like, it's not just a small update, although they're going to make some initial quick updates to the act, to some of these acts. The press release is all about how they're going to do a huge change, and a lot of it won't happen until if they get into the next into another term. So they're going to start asking for. I'll just point out they're also going to be considering customary Māori rights to things. So that isn't very well catered for in the current acts. What they've said is that they want to get public consultation over the next year or so, and then put together like a big framework that they will then, I guess, put into the, you know, next election cycle where they go, this is what we're wanting to do.
Does it feel like they're dangling a little bit of a carrot for the, you know, the environmentally minded voting constituency? New Zealanders that might vote a bit more green than...
Quite possibly. But I also feel like this government had some bigger plans that were completely shelved because of COVID. And they're finally getting a little bit of a chance to get some of these in, if you know what I mean. You know, like, and we saw that with things like work on poverty and stuff, where there was some work happening, and then it was all just like, stop the press, COVID's here.
So,
a more cynical person would say that, but regardless, I guess they're still doing it, right? Like, it still is they're going to run on this, so. You know, and I would just watch for whether or not the Green Party support it. That's probably a really good, gauge on whether these are meaningful. And what I'll do next year is, as these pieces of consultation timeframes come up, I will absolutely raise them in our conversations and get people to, you know, make a submission.
Submit to your local MP. Yeah,
send it to your local MP. I think, when it comes to submissions, doing them to the parliamentary website's much better, because it just goes straight to the select committee, and you can bypass your MP. So it's actually, that's what I was going to say. This is a slight side piece, but if anyone wants to make a New Year's resolution that is somewhat achievable, make it a goal to write X amount of submissions next year. Like, even if it's one or two, it's better than the last year, surely. Because submissions are a really important piece of our democracy, and these sorts of things, when they're starting to think about what does this framework look like, and they've specifically called out that they want community engagement, and there was another example where they said things like being able to shift round landing times and landing, like the amount of like airplanes that land or helicopters that land in some of these more sensitive areas. They want to be able to take the community voice into consideration, and the current framework doesn't allow for that. So some things like that, where you having a voice, even as a city person, is really important. because even though you're not there, like, you know, maybe in Tiana or whatever, you know, it might be very important to you that these places stay untouched. You don't have to be a resident of that area for that to be important to you. So I think you know, that's really exciting. It's a really exciting way to end the year. It's really promising, and it's also just raised the bar now for, you know, 2023, is it, election, 2024 mm-hmm. election, to really have the environment at the core or near the core of the discussion on what gets you know, and what gets these guys into Parliament.
Nice one. All right, Rita. Sure. Well, thank you for a fantastic year of Sustaining Alive.
No worries. Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful to be able to raise some awareness about some of these issues, and there's been some you know, some happy moments and some sad moments, but that's the world of the planet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The nature of the game.
So, yeah, the nature of the game, that's the one. So everyone have a fantastic holiday and Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you on the other side.
Excellent, Rita. Thank you very much. And a big thanks to Scarecrow. See ya.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.